I've been told many times in my life there's a message in every song. And may we get the message from every song. There were messages in those songs tonight. And as I heard them, I thought of the verse that says, "Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you." The Lord sees better than we do the situation of everything tonight. I am very thankful that he does. I'm thinking again of the verse that we started out with the other night. Except the Lord build a house, they'll labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman is going to just wake in vain. That is still true for tonight. We need the Lord to meet us here tonight. He sees what we will each one face next week when we separate and go back to our homes. He knows better than any of us the condition of our country tonight. And we need him to build the house for us. What I have on my heart tonight that I believe the Lord has been dealing with me about is tunnel vision. Have you ever been traveling? You go into a tunnel and you can see light at the other end of it. In fact, you're probably even going to be able to see what's on the other end of it. You start seeing if there's trees or whatever in that light. But it's not the big picture. I'm only seeing this portion. As humans, we see things through tunnel vision when God sees the big picture. And I want to give you an example. In the 6th chapter of 2 Kings, the Syrian army was after Elisha. They wanted to capture him. So they surrounded the city of Dothan at night. And the next morning, the servant went outside and looked and saw that they were surrounded by the enemy. You know what he was seeing? He really was seeing what was out there. But he was looking through tunnel vision. He didn't see the whole picture. And Elisha said, "I want to tell you, there's more here with us than there are with them." But he didn't see it. Because he's looking through this little vision, he saw what was really there. Elisha didn't say, "Hey, you're seeing things. There's nobody out there." No, he couldn't deny that. There was enemy all around the city. But through the eyes of faith, he was able to recognize, you don't see the big picture. And he said, "Lord, I want you to open his eyes." You know, when he opened his eyes, the enemy was still surrounding him. That's just what was there. But he also could see through the eyes of faith, chariots of fire all around where God was going to take care of them. We need that today. We see things through a little tunnel vision, and God sees the big picture. He sees not just what's happening today, but he's watching what my response is concerning it and how it's going to affect my eternal destiny out in the future. There are some verses that I want to start with tonight that starts to give us the big picture. And I would like to share some of those before we start with the message. Romans, the 14th chapter, and then the 10th verse, toward the end of that verse, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." This is the big picture. It is written, for 11th verse, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee is going to bow to me. Every tongue shall confess to God." This is the big picture for America. What I see tonight is a lot of trouble brewing. But I don't see the big picture. The scripture tells me all those that don't believe in God The time is coming when the big picture is opened up, that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. And it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. It's real important for me to take these scriptures that we're going to look at now and put them in the picture that I see. Because you see, I'm making choices every day. And there's a scripture that says every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I feel like the choices that I make are the right ones. But folks, without the Lord's help, I'm going to be looking through tunnel vision. I see just a certain portion of it. And what I see may be really true. It's not a lie. It can be true. But I just don't see all of it. Here's what the big picture is. There's going to come a time when every one of us are going to give an account of ourselves to God. You wouldn't recognize that by looking at the world around us today. Many of them don't even believe there's a God. But just like that servant of Elisha's needed faith to be able to see God's army all around to protect them, folks, tonight we need faith to believe that, you know what, God's in control of this thing. He has a plan worked out for this. So let's remember that verse. You know the word perspective. The definition for that is how I see something. My perspective is how I see it. You know, folks, perspective doesn't mean anything, really. I have mine, and you have yours. But I want to tell you something tonight. God has his.
Yes, that's right.
And that's the big picture, is what he sees. So whenever I start feeling like, you know what, I've got it figured out about what's going on in our politics, remember, I'm looking through a tunnel vision.
Yes.
I don't see the big picture. You know, I can look at things and say, oh, big trouble is coming to our land. And I tell you, when we look at how people have turned away from God, surely there is trouble coming. But you know what? God's in control of how he does it. And I've got to remember, the big picture is not that he wants to destroy men's lives, but he wants to save just as many as possible. That's why it says in 2 Peter, the third chapter, he's not willing that any would perish. So he's going to bring things on our land to give us all the best opportunity to turn and make heaven our home. There's another verse that I'd like for us to look at. It's in Hebrews, in the 9th chapter. There's verses that are a reminder for me. And even though I've heard them all my life in messages, tonight I need to review them again because this is the big picture. Hebrews 9 and 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this will be the judgment. For everyone, this is the big picture.
Yes, that's right.
There's an appointment for me, for you, for everyone. I'm going to stand before God one day. It would be good for us to spend some time meditating on these scriptures. Because I tell you, we're living in a time where the devil has something for us to think about. And it could be the troubles that are happening right now. It's a tunnel vision. The big picture is, all of these verses are going to come to pass one day. Here's another picture that I believe is important for us as we're making choices in our life. Stop every once in a while and read this one. Because if the Bible is true, we're going to all see this picture one day. In Revelations, in the 20th chapter, because you see, I'm making choices in my life. And those choices, whether I realize it or not, are going to affect where I spend eternity. In the 20th chapter of Revelations, and then the 12th verse, here's a picture, 11th verse. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works. This is the big picture. We can see the tunnel vision. But folks, one day we will all see this. It says all are going to bow their knee before him one day. This says every one of us are going to be judged according to our works. So you see, when I go out and make my choices, my decisions for life, I measure them against something. Here's what I need to be measuring it against: the big picture. One day, I will stand before this great white throne, and I'm going to give an account of what I've done with my life. But here's the big picture. I will have no time after that to correct it if I didn't get it right then. This is my opportunity for getting it right. I believe that's why David had a prayer in Psalms 139 and 23 and 24. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. Because I'm headed for this big picture. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, put into my path those things that will give me the best opportunity to make heaven my home. There's another verse I want to look at. You know, to the young people with choices and decisions that you're going to be making in your life, he gives some instruction in Ecclesiastes in the 11th chapter and in the 9th verse. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. You know, the Lord has given a lot of people opportunity today to do whatever they want to do. We can deny there's a God. We can say I'll never give an account to him. But know thou that for all these things, God's going to bring you into judgment. I need to take these things and measure the choices that I make in my life with these verses that give me the big picture. I'm headed for eternity, and I'm going to be judged by the way I'm living now. And it's not good enough for me to say I'm ready to meet the Lord myself. Don't want to judge myself. I need him to judge me. Because remember reading in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, 10th verse, it tells us there's something coming. This world is going to come to an end. You know, we hear people talking about the environment, and if we don't do something about it, this thing's going to self-destruct in a short amount of time. Folks, I want to tell you, this thing is going to self-destruct when God says it's time. And we find that in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 10th verse. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So as I look at this, this is the big picture. This is just before we all head out into eternity. Then it gives me a verse right after that, in the 11th verse. If I believe this, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You see, I'm going to have to see the big picture, because it is even possible for me to come to church with my biggest desire to be that you think I'm spiritual. It was done before. I try to imagine if I had been walking with Ananias and Sapphira to the chapel that day. You know what? They had tunnel vision. They were looking through this. Everything is fine. I see the picture. Peter's the one taking the money. All I got to do is hand it to him. He may not even ask anything. Just hand it to him. Everybody else is. But should he ask anything, here, let's agree on this price right here. And everything is fine. There's a scripture that we need to look at in Galatians 6th chapter and in the 7th verse. Because see, we're dealing with God. Somehow he forgot that he was not just dealing with Peter. He was dealing with God Almighty. This says in the 7th verse, 6th chapter of Galatians, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." As Ananias and Sapphira, as they headed for the chapel that day to hand it in, they felt like everything is covered. Somehow the two of them separated. She didn't go in with him at the same time. And he walked in first. And Peter said, "How is it that you have done this thing? You didn't lie to me. Did you sell it for this amount?" "Yeah, we've agreed on this. You know, between the two of us, we've agreed, so that's what we're going to say." You know, if we could see the big picture, if we could have been with Ananias that day and watched the big picture, there was a clock of his life that was ticking down. There was a time that mercy was extended to Ananias. At any point when that thought had been brought to his mind and he started thinking about, "I'm going to save back some of this money." Because you know what Peter told him? "While it was yours, you could have done whatever you wanted to with it, and it had been okay." It's once we lie to the Holy Ghost. There came a time where time was running out for Ananias. He was one answer away from eternity. "Did you sell it for this much?" You know what? If he had repented right then, he could have turned it around. But he was snuffed out into eternity. These scriptures that we read, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. I'm going to stand before the great white throne and give an account of every deed that I've done in my life. Folks, this is the place for us to take care of those that we don't want to meet God with. And it was something to me. Ananias is dead now. His clock has run out. He's out in eternity. But his wife is still alive. Somehow, the word did not get to her. And she came in a few hours later. Her clock is ticking. She's only an answer away from her life being spared and forgiven, or had gone out into eternity also. If she could have only realized, "This little tunnel vision is not going to carry me through. This little vision that I have, that if I can impress everybody in the congregation, it's all going to be fine." Folks, we're dealing with God Almighty.
Yes, that's right.
And that's what she was doing. So when she comes in, what it must have been, a simple question was between her and eternity. "Did you sell it for this?" "Yes." And she's gone out into eternity. And you know what? Now we are here to make decisions in our life. What am I going to see as important? Folks, I got to realize I'm always doing business with God. He's watching when nobody else is watching. And he is the one that I'm going to stand before. But I'm so glad that this Galatians, the 6th chapter, does not end on a negative note. "Whatsoever man soweth, he shall reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." But that verse didn't end there. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we're going to reap if we faint not. You know, the devil would want Christian people to have tunnel vision. He would like for us to feel like, you know what? Woe is me in the time that we're living in. This one says, he's going to reap if you faint not. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. You know, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes 8 and 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, I know it's going to be well for those that love the Lord. Let wickedness abound all around us. Folks, let's be faithful and we'll make heaven our home. You remember we talked about it already this week. It's Psalm 73. When the person that wrote that psalm took a look at the things that were happening around him, and it seemed like everybody else's life was going much better and they were living wicked lives, and he was going through so much affliction. What does it say? Let us not be weary in well-doing. We're going to reap if we faint not. Psalm 73, I'm so glad it didn't end with him deciding he wasn't going to go to the sanctuary. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't going to help. But he said, until I went to the sanctuary, and then everything started clearing up. He's no longer looking through tunnel vision. He starts to see the big picture. You know what you have put, Lord, you have put their feet in slippery places that don't live for you. And he also says, you know what? Lord, you're able to guide me through this and take me to heaven in the end. And I'm thankful for it. There were people in the Bible who made choices in their lives. And many times those choices are not just for them, but it influences others around them. I'd like to take a look at one of those. Noah. In the 6th chapter of Genesis, I wonder what conditions were like in Noah's time. I just have just a little picture that tries to tell me. Right at the first part of the 6th chapter, says God's 5th verse, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man. And he decided, I'm going to destroy man from off the earth. But it says something about Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord comes to Noah and he gives some instruction. 14th verse, make an ark of gopher wood. And he went on down through here and he gave instruction to Noah. Here's the size you build it. You remember the story we started with at first when the servant of Elisha stepped outside and said, the armies are all around us. And he needed his eyes, his spiritual eyes, to be open. You know, something happened for Noah to be able to get a vision of what was asked of him. Here's the size to build it. And I have gone out before and drawn out in a field what size this was. And he didn't have a Home Depot to order lumber to be brought to him. And he had instructions that was so clear, use only this kind of wood. Use only gopher wood. How long did he build on that? Maybe over 100 years. So he probably started with gopher trees that were pretty close, right around there. But you know, as you use them, they don't grow back that fast. So he's having to move farther away. Folks, there's a verse that says, had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray. Because you know what the human tendency would be? Wait a minute. Wood is wood. Oak will work just as good as this. And maybe it would, except for this. It's not following the plan that God gave. You know what? God is the one to make the boat float at the end of it when it's needed the most. It's the same way with our life. There's many people today are saying, I can build my life this way, and it will be accepted by God. Folks, it's tunnel vision. Maybe parts of it are true, but I'm not seeing the big picture. I must allow God to lead me in my life. Noah built on that boat for over 100 years. 2 Peter 3 talks about there's going to be scoffers in the last day. I wonder if there were scoffers in his day. Had to have some neighbors to come by. What you building? I see you got a few boards laid out here. You're just starting. Well, God's told me to build a boat. There's coming a big flood. 30 years later, he's still building on it. You know what we're going to have to do? Because our life may last many years. I'm going to have a focus on the direction that I'm going. I received this from the Lord that there's destruction coming out ahead, and I must be ready. And he just continued building. It's amazing to me the faith that Noah had. It had never rained before. So all he had to go off of was God telling him, there's coming a flood. Never even saw, it'd be one thing if he had seen heavy rains like we've seen that wash houses off of foundations and you wish you had a boat. He had never seen that before. But he had faith in God. And to me, what's real important for us today is, folks, let's have faith in God. When I read these verses and I'm going to stand before the great white throne and I'm going to give an account of everything I've done, folks, it ought to put a carefulness in me about the things that I'm willing to do. It says in Genesis 6, down toward the end of it, thus did Noah according to what God commanded him. Just went on building the boat. And I want to read to you over in Hebrews the result of it all. Because here's the thing. If we will be faithful, it could be to the saving of more than just my soul. It could possibly be to the saving of my house. Hebrews 11 and 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he was moved with fear. I don't think that was just scared. That was a deep respect for what God had said to him. And he started building for over 100 years, continuing on with it. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. It didn't just save him and his wife. It also saved his children. Folks, you know what? Decisions that we made to walk close to the Lord could possibly be to the saving of our own house. Thought of Joseph. You know what? There were choices that he made in his life. He sat on that camel, no doubt, for many hours, realizing what had just happened when his brother sold him into slavery. We are all faced with thoughts that run through our mind and what it can cause to happen to us. He could have allowed bitterness. Hebrews 12 and 15 says, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and many be defiled. He had the opportunity for years. My understanding is from the time he was sold into slavery until he went into power with Pharaoh was 13 years. Seems like a long time to waste. But in that time, he recognized, I believe he saw more than just tunnel vision of all the troubles I'm going through. But the song that we heard tonight about us putting our, when we don't understand, we put ourselves in God's hands. We trust him that he knows what's best. And that's what he did. To the point that serving God was the most important thing to him. You know what? He had choices he made in his life. When he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, the story we have today would have been so different. I don't think we would have seen the end of the story that we see now. But he was faithful in the decisions that he made. And what caused him to make those kind of choices? This is what he said to her. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He had a relationship with God that he was not going to let anything interfere with. He allowed there to be forgiveness for his brothers. You know, he could have had so much to say to them when they realized who he was. But instead he said, it was not you, it was God that allowed these things to come into my life. And then he said, go home and get my father and bring him. You know what that father for those 13 years thought his son was dead, and the brothers all knew he was gone. Now their job is to go home and say, hey, Dad, I want to tell you, we just met Joseph down there. Ooh, there's a lot of explaining to do that they've got to do to him. But you know what? Joseph's faithfulness was to the saving of his house. There's many more years of famine out ahead of us. Go get Dad and the rest of them when y'all come on down here. This was what God had planned for the 13 years that I lost of my life. It was his plan for me. There's a verse in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and then the 19th verse. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, so that both thou and thy seed, so that both you and your children would be able to live. There was a man that did not choose life. Nobody's going to choose death. But you know what? The choices that we make determine that. When they had the battle with Joshua had against Jericho, God gave some directions to them. Don't you take of any of the possessions for yourself. And there was one man that just took a little bit compared to what all there was, no doubt there. Gold, Babylonish garment, looked like everything's fine. But folks, in the choices that we make in our life, we need to keep these first verses that I gave you alive in our heart. We need to meditate on them. I need to keep before me, there's going to be a day when I stand before that great white throne. It said, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away. It was such a fearful scene, and I'm going to stand there one day to give account. And Achan, how they were able to go down and find, this is the man. And he admitted, yes, it's me. And you, he didn't pay just himself. It cost his family also. You know, many times the decisions that we make that cause us to walk a distance from God will cost us more than ourselves, because our family will move farther than that. Adam and Eve. Eve made a choice one day, and it wasn't through ignorance. She quoted the scripture that God had given her the command, given them the command, don't eat of it, lest you die. But it says the tree looked good for food, pleasant to the eye. It was a tree desired to make one wise. Folks, we're living in a time where there's many, many people setting aside God's law and saying, I can do it this way and make it. And Satan is behind it all. Where was Satan when it was time to pay? You know, they had lived in the Garden of Eden, had nothing, no work that they had to do. It was all provided for them. You know, the Garden of Eden was not destroyed when they were put out of it. They were set out, and it was right there where they could have come back in, except it said there was a flaming sword put there to keep them from being able to enter, lest they should eat of the tree of life and live forever. That's what God had planned for them to be able to have all along, was to be there and enjoy it. And it wasn't destroyed. In fact, it was part of the punishment for what they had done. I can see over there at what I could have had. Folks, we can make decisions today. This punishment is not only in eternity. There are many people that have to pay in this life. Looking over at what I could have had if I had not listened to Satan. And you know, Satan didn't come back to her and say, look, I want to apologize to you. Boy, I know this thing was pretty expensive for what you're having to pay now. And it hasn't all been paid yet. I'm sorry that you got two sons now, but one of them is going to kill the other, and it's going to be part of this decision that you made right here that I took you into. No, instead he's gone on to the next one, and he still is working today. And then I look at, well, maybe they just weren't walking close to the Lord. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, walked so close to the Lord that the Lord asked him, "You just tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you." And Solomon asked for an understanding heart that he'd be able to judge the people. That was the first visit. Solomon built the temple, and he's still pleasing the Lord, and he gets a second visit. That visit, the Lord is still pleased with him, but there's a little warning comes that the first visit didn't have. The second visit said, "As long as your heart is turned toward me, your kingdom will be sturdy, your kingdom will be established." But there was a little word that followed, "But." If your heart turns, Solomon, how could God have even thought his heart could turn? They were on such a close relationship at that time. But he gave him a warning. "If your heart turns, I'm going to turn." He got one more visit. It says his heart did get turned. How it could have happened to the wisest man that wrote for us, wrote for his sons, so much instruction. Good instruction on how to live. One of those instructions was, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And Solomon failed to keep his own heart. Toward the last visit that came, there were no buts in there. "Solomon, your heart is turned, and I'm going to rend the kingdom from you." Folks, even then, I think of that today and I say, Solomon, why? Why didn't you fall down and repent like your dad did and say, "Create in me a clean heart"? I believe mercy would have been extended. But something happened to Solomon to where when he found out who was going to be the one coming after him to lead the kingdom, he went out to try to kill him instead of spending his time repenting. There's a verse for us. When I feel secure in living for the Lord, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Not because I plan to fall, not because I say, you know what, I got some things I want to go do. No, because Satan's real. Satan has some plans available. He has a 5-year plan for some, 10-year, 20-year. He does not care how long it takes. He's got one goal. When you draw your last breath, you are not ready to stand before this great white throne. What is my history going to be? Can I secure it on my own? I need to say, Lord, I need your help every day. Lord, I need you to see the direction I'm going and the direction it's going to take me. Because many times, if our desire is to live for the Lord, we don't fall into sin in one day. There's a little drifting that starts to head us in that direction. And then we end up. Don't want to have it said of me, the song that we sing sometime, "Lost forever. Oh, how sad." It doesn't have to be. You know what? There are scriptures that talks about in Jude. It says he's able to present us faultless. Yes, that's right. That will only happen as I yield myself to him. To say, Lord, show me who I am. And by your help, I'll make the adjustments to be ready. In 2 Peter, it says, let us give all diligence. There's some things that we need to give diligence to. 2 Peter 1 and 10 and 11. Because it says, if we'll do those things, we'll never fall. It is possible for us to make heaven our home. But to do that, here it says in 2 Peter 1 and 11, "An entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." This is what God wants to have for every one of us. To do that, I'm going to have to ask him, "Lord, it's easy for me to see the tunnel vision. What I can see may be true, but I can't see the big picture." Tenth verse. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you'll never fall." Because of my own strength, I'm going to fail if I try my own strength. But what it does is it finds out I'm leaning on the Lord. I'm expecting him to show me, and when he does show me, I'm quick to respond to his call. My desire is that every one of us make heaven our home. I believe every one of us will agree we're living in some troubled times where we don't know what the future holds. We do know who holds the future. And we do know that if I will yield myself to the Lord, Lord, I'm headed for that great white throne at a time when I will not be able to turn around and make an adjustment if I find then that I wasn't ready. Lord, I want to be ready to meet you when you call for me, and he will help us. I am so thankful for that. I desire your prayers. Yes.